gentlemen, welcome back to the Back to the Past podcast. Today, we're going to do a very special episode, an episode that I hope the audience would love it. Rohan, would you like to explain it?
Yeah, sure. So the plan is, instead of having one, you know, scenario like we had with the Russo-Japanese Wars, for example, in the previous episode, we were thinking more of like shorts, for example. So like, let's say I asked Tej an alternate scenario. So like, Tej, what would happen if Woodrow Wilson was in the president? And Tej would like, you know, give me a response and we can have a discussion for like a few minutes and then we go to the next scenario. So it's basically like that. So Tej, let's start off with the scenario I asked you. What happened?
So two things that come into my mind is one thing is that Woodrow Wilson was a very racist president and his presidency furthered division between African-Americans and white people. So if he wasn't president, we could have like equal rights between all Americans earlier than originally. And like, I think a lot of people agree that like the civil rights movement was very tough, was a very like tough age. Because African-Americans had to go through police brutality and a lot of racism. And there's just a lot of events that caused them to get civil rights. But it was also very lucky events due to many presidencies before, like Woodrow Wilson, dividing the division between African-Americans and white people. And then the second thing is like foreign relations. Woodrow Wilson had this thing where like American democracy is superior. We should spread our democracy, but our democratic ideology is the best ideology. Like he had this like weird concept of like freedom as superior of all, but we must use that superiority on others. And that foreign policy obviously messed up a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah, enough about like foreign policy. Like what you did bring up was a very good point, but you also forgot about the fact that you also have to look at what the Republicans could have offered. So in this scenario, there's like two different scenarios you could possibly go on. One route would be if William Howard Taft was actually the actual Republican nominee and not, you know, Theodore Roosevelt, if he could swallow a little bit of his pride and not run as a third party candidate. I think one interesting side effect that a lot of people would fail to note is that we wouldn't have a justice in the Supreme Court, because if you guys didn't know, William Howard Taft was the only sitting president in American history to actually be nominated and actually confirmed into the Supreme Court. So I think that's just an important thing to note. But otherwise, let's get to the more eventful one, which would be Teddy Roosevelt winning the Republican nomination in 1912. What this would mean is that you're right, Woodrow Wilson did really hold back race relations. In fact, he spread the Lost Cause myth. If you don't know what the Lost Cause myth is, just basically like the Confederacy was cheated out of something. Like, you know, the stabbed in the back myth, like from the Nazis, right? That's basically what it was.
Yeah.
But continuing on with Teddy Roosevelt, I believe that we're definitely going to enter World War One earlier. I say around 1915 when the Lusitania sinks. And I'm going to follow very much of an alternate history hub. I know it's kind of a cop out here. But I do think the war ends earlier. And to be honest, I think we're going to see a much more divided Europe. Like, I remember our first episode. Didn't we have that Teddy Roosevelt won the election in 19, right?
No, I think we might have. But our first episode was more of brutality on Versailles Treaty. That's what
because Teddy Roosevelt would have affected the Treaty of Versailles. And we also would have had no UN either. I think that's important to note as well. There's no UN. We're not. America's more of an isolationist power in this scenario, although our Navy would be beefed up. Like, we could have probably outcompeted Britain by the late 20s at this point, because Britain was kind of going into recession after World War One. Meanwhile, we were booming, as you know, until our stock market crashed. But yeah, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was going into a recession except the United States, which in World War One. But next scenario.
So I have a new topic. So my topic is, if India was a major global power during like Renaissance and like the colony era and like, I guess like the era after that, where like British, France, and Portugal doesn't colonize Indian lands because India is such a like a major, not just an Asian player, but a global player. Like powerful as like somewhat like Ming. So what kind of alternate scenario or history you could see from that?
So let me just get this right. You're saying that India is like, you know, a powerful nation that can easily resist Europeans. That's yes. what you're saying, right?
Yes.
I think that's actually impossible, to be honest. Because if we look at the terms of the geography of India, in terms of just the history of India being invaded, it's not no Afghanistan in terms of it can't be easily invaded. Like, we can go back towards Alexander the Great's time, as a matter of fact, if you want to see India being invaded. And it's a true fact that a lot of the times India is ruled over by a foreign power, and there's not a lot of unity within India. Like,
yeah, that's a big thing.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Nation states.
Like, look, for example, the Mughals were based off the Timurids, which I don't know if you guys knew that, but the Mughals were based off the Timurids.
Yeah, so in this scenario, if it somehow happened, that's, again, not our discussion in this episode, but I would think that, like, for Scramble of Africa, for example, you know, the coast that's on the Indian Ocean, I think that some of it could be colonized by India, because in your scenario, India is pretty strong, so they're obviously going to get invested in colonization too. So the Europeans are now going to have another colonizer in Africa, parts of Africa.
Definitely. I think it also improves race relations, because, you know, we were talking about last episode with the Russo-Japanese War and how that made the view of Asians a lot less, you know, oh, they're inferior to us. So,
when they could actually compete.
So I'm thinking actually that if India does become a very strong nation, as Ted would suggest, I do think that we would get more respect in terms of with brown people. That's just my take on that.
Earlier, like in the 19th century, 20th century, early 20th
yeah,
century.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. You know, speaking now with India in general, a topic I actually came to mind was, what if, so this is similar to Tejas, but not the exact same. So what if the East India Company was not able to colonize India? They were kicked out.
In this reality, for this scenario to happen, the kings would reject British's influence, its money, its power, its like offerings, because British played India like it was chess, putting kings to each other so they can collect their land, their territory, make them as puppets so they can unite India as one major puppet, like obviously, and name it the British Raj. But obviously, local Indians can run away if they have the support of the kings. If the kings don't like the British people, it's just that the kings have to have a different opinion on these European powers. Obviously, Europeans are still powerful. They're going to have ports and stuff, but like I said, the British is not going to control all of India with like multiple local kings and like regional like leaders or local leaders of India constantly fighting with British. British is going to have some land, and that's how that scenario is going to play out. Even if that scenario plays out, and it's going to take a long time for India to like unite together, but maybe with
I don't think India could ever. No offense. I don't think if it wasn't for the British, I don't think India would ever, quote unquote, like unite as like as much of a centralized state as India would be today. I think it could be rather a loose set of federations, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, like, same thing with our Germany one. Remember how Germany became a loose federation? Yeah. Something similar would happen.
I agree. I think that's how that scenario will play out.
And, you know, I actually want to introduce a pretty unique scenario. In fact, it's actually, we never even really covered this time period at all, not even close to it. So this event could have taken place around 75,000 years ago. Yes, a prehistoric alternate history, our first. So I don't know if you guys ever heard of, but you guys ever heard of the Toba eruption or the theory behind it?
Not really,
no.
So basically, it's a theory proposed by scientists because there was a mass extinction that happened on Earth around, what was it, 75,000 years ago, of course. And the human numbers were in the millions, and it was down to around 10,000. In fact, it was rumored that was the closest humanity ever went to extinction. So what do you think how do you think the world could potentially have looked like if it didn't happen, or if it even happened and destroyed all humanity right there and then?
So let's go with the first one where it said like the humanity that never happened. So I'm remembering parts of it now, and I'm pretty sure that killed actually a lot of the humanoid species, like the Homo genus.
Yeah,
right there.
I think it was the Denisovians too. Denisovans. I don't remember how to say those, but it's like,
yeah, so it killed a lot of human species.
That's why we see like a lot of in the mix. Like we see, that's why we see like a lot of mixed blood today. Like we don't talk about there was like black Europeans and white Native Americans. It's pretty interesting actually when you look into it more, how diverse our ethnic pool was during this time period. In fact, it's rumored that it's so interesting because it's rumored the fact that the ethnic pool back then could have potentially been much larger than our own today. So that proposes a lot more of interesting questions. But at the same time, though, that does definitely hold true because since we had like a ton of people back then and then just got limited to 10,000, it definitely would trace back to 10,000 common ancestors. Then who knows how many common ancestors they had.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we think about it, the way a species survives in nature in general is they want to be as diverse as possible, because diversity, you can get negative mutations, sure, but it also gives you mutations that could be beneficial to the species in their environment. So that's why diversity is important for biological reproduction. So if we have this huge gene pool, I wonder, like, not only now are we going to have different athletic abilities, intelligence, you know, just races, all that stuff. Now we could even have abilities that we never imagined, like
lights,
maybe telepathy for all we know. Yeah. I mean, we never know if some of those ancient humanoid species had telepathy, because like there's no obviously written information about that. It's obviously pre-written.
Yes, yeah, it's before history was written.
Telepathy.
Yeah. Before written records, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Or some of us humanoid species could be cave dwellers. Like, we never know.
I'm a sad on. There's another, like, you were talking about mutations before. It's just something I've read up more recently. So, you know, about the whole epidemic concerning around the elephants being illegally hunted, right? Yeah, poaching.
Yeah, poaching,
right? Yeah, illegally hunted, I should say. Poached. But really, I find it interesting because now it's actually starting to come out that elephants are now starting to evolve without having ivory tusks. I don't know if you've heard of that before, but it's pretty interesting, actually.
I have not heard of it, but that's beneficial for them. Yeah. And that goes to my point.
Exactly. Diversity. That's why I was pointing it out, because I was just mentioning it specifically.
Yeah, definitely. That's really cool, actually. But see, that's the thing. Like, poaching is forcing that without ivory tusks to be more successful than with ivory tusks. I mean, a staple of, I don't remember if the Asian elephant has ivory tusks, but I know the African elephant has ivory tusks. And one of the staples of it is its large tusks, you know, it's a sad.
Yeah, that was what it was focused on. That was what it was focused on, mainly the African elephant.
Yeah, that's sad. But I was just thinking, and all of a sudden it hit me. I was watching a movie last night, and it was basically some silly movie, but in it, Rome had invaded Egypt. So it got me thinking, what if the Romans were not able to invade Egypt?
Well,
and Egypt in this space being the ancient Egyptians.
And this is, we're talking about during the what do you call it? The Ptolemies.
30 BC-ish.
Like the Ptolemies, you mean?
Yeah.
Or I don't know how to say the name, but I'm just going to say Ptolemies.
Ptolemaic Empire, Kingdom. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. The one with the Greek one, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Well, I honestly think that in order to save Egypt from being conquered, I think we'd actually have to prevent the assassination of Julius Caesar, or at least prevent his death for a short bit of time. Because for a bit of time, there was actually a triumvirate, actually, if you didn't know that, in the Roman Empire. So there was three rulers. There was Mark Antony, Augustus, aka Octavius at the time. And then I forgot the third guy. It doesn't come to me at the top of my fingers, if you know what I mean. But basically, the unnotable guy was kicked out. And then we had Mark Antony and Octavius. The only reason why Egypt was invaded was because of the fact that there was actually a rumored son, aka Caesarion. And Octavius, as you know now as Augustus Caesar, was the adopted son. I mean, I assume you guys knew that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So I think in order to prevent the invasion of Egypt I don't think, honestly, though, I think if we save Julius Caesar, I don't think we invade Egypt. Or at least we see a merging between the two kingdoms. Because if you didn't know, Julius Caesar also dated Cleopatra. Basically, Cleopatra was a bit of an inappropriate word I'm not going to use here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so basically what you're suggesting is that instead of the Romans having to invade it, so Julius Caesar, I was reading, as you said, there was definitely the rumored son. So if Julius Caesar was alive, it'd be more of like a peaceful merger. So like, more of a royal,
not like a personal, like you know how a personal union works in EU4.
Yeah, personal union, exactly.
Like that. Yeah, it's more like that, but instead it'd probably be more of the integration part of it, not the whole personal union thing.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Yeah, you know,
like
what I mean?
Integrating a puppet state. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly what I'm talking about. But it's more of in terms of marriage.
Right.
That's no, I, that was actually a really good scenario. I have to give you that. I didn't think you'd think of that.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll cover the next one, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know. My parents were watching a movie and like it was just this guy in the desert and they were being like captured by Romans. It was really weird. Yeah, you go next one though.
All right, then. I'm going to do one more and then Tej has to do the last one because he hasn't talked. He hasn't said shit.
Yeah, I got you.
All right. All right. Well, great scenario, Rohan. That was actually a really interesting one. I didn't even think of it, but the next one's going to be a very more recent. So, right. So instead of going to 30 BC, let's take it to 1937 AD. What if the Hindenburg never crashed?
Oh, that's... You know, I would have never thought about that.
Yeah, I know. I just thought about it because I was like looking up some alternate histories a while back and I just saw that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I got you. So
what's your opinion on that, Tej? No, let Tej talk. Let Tej talk.
Okay, cut me out interrupting that.
Yeah. So what's your opinion, Tej? You haven't talked in a bit.
So the Hindenburg never crashed. Wow.
I assume you know what the Hindenburg is, right?
Yeah, I just... Wait, just give me time. I know what it is. I just don't know much of it.
It's really just... It's actually pretty simple, though. I think I know what happened. That's just my take on it.
I know.
It's like German casualties, right? The Hindenburg disaster. That's an interesting one. So the airship didn't crash, obviously. All the passengers, which were German, will have survived. So good gracious that those souls will have lived. But also the reason that a lot of people talk about that is like the news coverage and how the deaths affected the country. So I will say that there won't just during Germany, news won't talk about, we'll talk about different stuff than airship blowing up. Blowing up, how German lives didn't die from this awful death, how this new coverage, how like this mourn caused many sorrow in Germany, but Germany will just go through a normal day. I see sometimes alternate scenarios, it doesn't have to come up with crazy new events, but sometimes can lead to normal times by filling in the gaps. Do you guys agree?
See, I get your point, but you're looking at this the wrong way. See, what I was saying, this incident right here, airships in general were dying out in favor of the public because, sure, airships are like ships in the air, so like they're nice and luxurious. But the biggest difference, the biggest advantage of air travel is speed. So why would you sacrifice that speed for like a cruise vessel? But instead of, you know, taking 20 hours to get across the Atlantic like it did back then, it's probably more than 20 hours, you spend a few weeks to get across the Atlantic. Why would anybody do that when they can get on the airplane and go there for much less time? So that's why airships are dying. And if the Hindenburg didn't die, I think, see, this is going to contradict my point, but Germany during this time was really into airships. I don't know, but they wanted to go with airships. So if the Hindenburg,
I mean, I don't blame them, to be honest.
They're cool, but my airships, I see them as like floating ships. So I see them as like more, I just see them bad compared to like an airplane, for example.
Yeah, no, what was I going to say? Because the airplane, really, what you're saying, it's really just more in terms of, it's what like an electric car and a gas car today, right now. If we look at an electric car, you can compare it to like an airship. How I view the airship would be in this alternate history scenario, where the airship's more of like a luxurious experience, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we have an airplane, which is more of the common man's, well, it wasn't really the common man's, but it's still pretty expensive, but it's not like an airship where it takes weeks. It's not an experience per se. It's almost like a luxury car and a basic, you know, regular car that an average man would drive today.
No, yeah, definitely. I get you. But... Airships.
I should also mention one more thing.
Yeah.
I should also mention one more thing. And the reason why I think airships would still be in use in this scenario is because of the fact that airplanes during this time, and it was up till around the 60s or 70s, where airplanes were extremely uncomfortable to go on. There was a lot of turbulence, actually, as a matter of fact. If you look really into it and into early airplane history, it's actually really interesting because the planes, while they might be cool to look at, they were not really the best for air travel with like regular citizens.
Yeah, but in this incident in our timeline, I feel like accelerated that development. So the airstrip did not die. I feel like commercial air travel as we know it would definitely be delayed by a few years to a decade, maybe. I don't think that much, but I think it would be delayed significantly. And I think I don't think they'd be around in the 21st century, but I don't think they'd die right there in 37. I don't know.
No, it was a dying industry. I agree with you.
Yeah.
My thing is that me personally, I guess it's just because I feel like the airship is kind of really cool. I just like the whole idea about it, but I do think it's more of terms of like a luxurious alternative. That's exactly my opinion on it. It's almost like a cruise ship nowadays almost.
Yeah, exactly. So it's more like a cruise ship. So at the end of the day, I think still airplanes would win and airships would die out, but not obviously 37-ish, but maybe more of the 60s and 70s when, as you were saying, air travel was just getting more efficient and better.
So I'm just going to do a quick alternate religion one.
That seems interesting. Go on.
So we all know that Christianity goes to the New World and expands the Catholic Church and stuff like that. So I have a question. What happens... There was no, not enlightenment, but like Christianity doesn't spread to the natives in the New World, and it only stays in Europe. So this is a very small scenario and a very unlikely one.
Yeah, but I say that's like the most unlikely scenario we said so far.
But and I feel like if it does happen, what could possibly?
All right. So if we're looking in terms of like what if it could happen, let's just clear it up right now. That would not happen because besides gold, as soon as they found the natives, they saw them as uncivilized. So they said, okay, we must convert them to Christianity. And in fact, we could look at this about 250 years later when the Toll Trail of Tears was happening. One of the reasons why they were called the civilized tribe, the five civilized tribes, I mean, was because of the fact of, oh, they were becoming more and more Christian. But in this scenario, I do think... Overall, I think we see a whole lot less Christians, especially in South America, for example, because South America tends to be a very pretty religiously conservative, from my point of view, at least. In fact, I don't know what religion they would worship at all. I think we don't know where it could be. It could be even tribal gods, for all we know. But I feel like eventually they would have to adapt to Christianity. I think it's an inevitability born in terms of a impossibility.
I think, to be honest, to begin with, Native Americans, really, I mean, they played a role in the early American history, but that, I feel like, see, European settlers would overwhelm the Native Americans. They would be more, and obviously they're Christian speaking. So I think that there is no scenario to it because just instead of wasting time converting the natives are just kind of forgotten about. But to me, there really is no other difference. So see, my point of view is the Europeans, they're going to come to the colonize, they're going to colonize the New World, and they're going to bring Christianity with them. So their population is going to easily overwhelm the Native American population. The Native Americans are going to be wiped out with disease and whatnot. And on top of that, the Native Americans, they're significant somewhat, but really more in the very early, but they become unsignificant, to say. Like, they become less important and whatnot. So I feel like as soon as, like, you know, 1600s, late 1600s, early 1700s hits, they're kind of just going to be forgotten about and history's going to progress the same way.
Well, I think my only argument to that is that, just to add on to what you were saying, I do think like a potential like Trail Tears could happen actually earlier in our timeline per se, because one of the motivating factors, like I said before, towards a civilized nation, according to Americans at least, was that they were starting to become more and more Christian. Without that, I think that Americans would have no reason to say, oh, they're coming like us, besides the fact that they wore quote unquote normal people clothes. as they would say. Well, yeah, that's all I got to say on that topic.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that'll wrap it up for our episode. I hope you like our multiple scenario episode where we give it a little bit spice in our podcast. I hope you really love it. We thought this was a great idea, and I hope you will pay attention to our future episodes and be part of our community. And we will see you guys later.